next case is 99-269, State of Ohio versus Brian Kleiman.
Specific finding at the time of the plea that the crime was committed with a firearm?
There was no specific finding, or was there any request by the State of Ohio to put that information on the record?
So there's nothing on the record of the plea that a firearm was used in the commission of this crime?
That's correct.
But the facts and reality are that the pistol
if we talk about reality, I think that the court is restricted by what is on the record. When we enter into an agreement with the State of Ohio, we're entering into a contractual agreement with the State of Ohio.
But when I did probation request, I routinely looked at the everything. And you often set out the facts. You often set out the charge, but the facts still were.
I have some problems with the state position. Number one, I think they misstate some of the cases, like the Stigney. Those cases had to do with the deletion of firearm specifications. Firearm specifications are enhancements. They're governed by another statute. When the gun remains in the body of the indictment, one pleads to a non-probationable offense, then 2951.02 is split. I certainly understand your argument. What disturbs me about the Simon case and the Court of Appeals from our district is all the cases that the State of Ohio has presented. This is the only case that I'm aware of where the Court of Appeals disturbed the discretion of the court. And I think that's the point that you're bringing up. Maybe that information is relevant to the trial court when they assume the jurisdiction to look at the expungement statute. That maybe that would be appropriate under your scenario that the trial court have. In this particular case, the trial court and I were involved in this case from day one. The trial court was fully aware of all the factual information of the underlying offense. Therefore, for the Court of Appeals to come in, disturb the trial court's discretion is very disturbing to me, and I think that you'd be to this members of this court. Because I think it's clearly was understood at the time the plea was negotiated that in fact it was probational, they indicated it was probational, and at no time did they indicate otherwise or that he would be precluded from filing for sealing of the record sometime down the line.
The state did not appeal the fact that he got probation?
No, Your Honor. So I don't know how the state at this point now argues that a simple assault misdemeanor with no underlying factual basis that a gun was involved becomes a non-probationable offense under 2951.203. It just was not what the record indicated.
What about that there's some, I guess the argument is that there's an implicit admission at the sentencing about the gun, the transcript of the sentencing, is that, what do you say about that?
I don't know what the legal significance is. I think
that they say it's implicit, or it's admitted, but, you know, it's by, because the word gun was mentioned, or it was implicit because it was said that an officer was licensed, because this defendant was a police officer, his having of the gun was legit.
It's very difficult for me to understand the implicit.
You've read the argument. It's in the brief.
Okay. The Court of Appeals indicating that there was an omission because counsel made a statement. I don't think the counsel's statement should be construed as an omission on the record. I never understood that logic either. I think it's clear that at the time that this plea was contemplated, that the state and the defendant entered into a plea agreement. That's a contractual agreement. There should be, you know, some collateral stuff or race to the gun. If they wanted to make it part of the record, that was the time to do it.
Do I understand your argument correctly that in this case, and you argue it in this case, that the gun specification was deleted from the indictment? And the other cases that we have, it was never deleted from the indictment. I read lots and lots about that, and then went back and looked at those cases, and some of them aren't as clear about the indictment.
Right, because I'm just going from experience and from what I can understand, and you're correct that not all those cases are clear. I think they are clear in the fact that when they enter into the plea agreement, they indicate that they're non-probational. I think they indicate that they're non-probational because 2951.203, in the language of, say, an aggravated robbery, it will say this crime was committed while the offender was armed with a firearm, right in the body of the indictment. The firearm specification, which was really controlled by another separate statute, 2941.141, that's merely a penalty enhancement. So the gun remained in the body of the indictment on all those cases with the state cites. That is correct.
But here, in fact, there were two specifications with regard to the gun in the original indictment, weren't there?
That's correct. That's
okay.
The gun in the body and the gun specification.
Now, were they both removed?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Both removed from the indictment?
Yes. It was a simple assault.
How do you remove from an indictment that a grand jury has voted?
How do you remove from the indictment?
How do you remove something from an indictment that a grand jury has voted? With discretion.
With discretion and with compliance with the prosecuting attorney. Just the mere fact that somebody is charged with a gun doesn't mean, if we follow this to the illogical, as I see it, perception of the state, the mere filing of the indictment with a gun, the body of the indictment or gun specification under the state's theory, would seem to preclude any individual from filing for expungement. Even if the case was probably acquitted under their theory, the case is an extreme. Even if they were acquitted, you couldn't steal the record because the gun was used in the underlying.
It's a routine matter when you enter into a plea, or your client enters into a plea, you enter into a plea on behalf of your client, plea agreement with the state in other cases. Do you ever go back and redo the indictment? The reason I'm struggling with that concept is I never did that. And it looks like maybe you should. Have you ever changed another indictment?
Well, I think the state's position, the best position, was that the assault was a lesser included of the original assault.
Yes.
Therefore, it would be a proper reduction.
Well, clearly a reduction, but you can do that under the original indictment, can't you? I mean, it looked to me like there was an extra step here taken.
removing something from the indictment, literally removing it, as opposed to just letting him enter a plea to a lesser included charge. And if that's so, it almost seems like, regardless of whether the gun was there, it clearly is not part of the case.
I agree. I don't think the gun was part of the case anymore as a result of the plea. And as a result of the clear language, it doesn't say what you're arrested for, it says what you're convicted for. And I think that's where the court's misinterpreted that particular statute. Unless there's any questions.
Mr. Fry, why would this indictment have been changed? You didn't have to let him enter a plea to a lesser included offense.
The indictment was not changed, Your Honor. What was deleted were the firearms specifications for both the count of felonious assault and the kidnapping count. The amendment to the indictment of felonious assault to allow the defendant to plead to a simple assault was done obviously with concurrence of the prosecutor to avoid mandatory prison.
Okay, if you say that that's not a change to the indictment, would you accept that the gun specification was stricken from the original indictment?
Well, we dismissed that portion of the indictment. I would say would probably be the correct characterization of that. I think, however, Your Honor, I'm not trying to avoid your question. I think the issue here is not what the defendant pled to or what was originally indicted, but the issue is, did he commit this offense while he was armed under the dictates of the old probation statute 2951.02F3? And I don't think there's any question that was the case. He was armed.
But what I guess when you say that, I say we only, in the law, we look to proof. Either there's got to be an admission somewhere in this record or proof, not an allegation. I guess that's all we have.
And I don't disagree with that, Your Honor. There is cases that this court has cited with approval, particularly one from the 11th District, State v. Fisher, where this court, and the court cited it in its Haas decision, that judge found out only at the time of sentencing or prior to sentencing when he looked at the probation report that defendant had a firearm on or about his person. Now, clearly the defendant then prior to sentencing admitted that he did. This defendant admitted that he had a firearm on or about his person at the expungement hearing. Counsel said so. He was licensed. He was a police officer. Of course, he had his service weapon on his person at the time. We have an admission here. What Justice Sweeney has asked, I think, really is the critical question here. Has there been a fact-finding made by the trial court that would preclude the state from asserting that a firearm was used or was armed, the defendant was armed under the contemplation of these probation and then subsequently the expungement statute? The answer is no, it was not done at the time of the plea, and it wasn't done by the trial court at the time of the expungement hearing. We got to the expungement hearing, the state attempted to bring in that fact-finding process, PCIR, Internal Affairs Investigatory Reports from the defendant's partner that indicated that he had his service revolver, that the partner took that service, not revolver, but service weapon from the defendant at the time of this altercation. He was fearful that he was going to use it.
This is not, you know, we really have to look at this in terms of the statutory language and the record. Now, that all may be true, but where is it in the record that this is a conviction for which the defendant is not, what's the words, when offenders subject to mandatory prison?
The trial court precluded the state from putting into the record that information at the expungement hearing. If you recall,
and that was not appealed, so that's
it. Was,
oh,
Your Honor,
Oh, at the expungement hearing, I'm sorry.
At the expungement hearing,
okay.
We attempted to proffer and did proffer for the record those reports of the Internal Affairs Unit that indicated, or clearly so, that the defendant was armed. The trial court did not consider those.
Probably because the statute speaks of conviction of, as your opponent points out. Do you think that's why the trial judge wouldn't permit that? It may be on relevance?
I think the trial court misapplied what the expungement statute is all about. This court, and I believe you authored the opinion, Justice Cook, that said the primary function of the expungement statute is a fact-finding. The first step is fact-finding. I know there was a vigorous dissent in that, I believe it's Hamilton case, but not on that issue. I would think that the court would all concur that the obligation of the trial court is to find facts.
But that's, I mean, it is facts about eligibility, but also, you know, whether it meets all the criteria. But
that's right. And the first criteria is eligibility.
Right.
Is this an offense for which the legislature contemplated sealing the record? It's been clear for years that they have never contemplated sealing a record where a firearm was involved in the commission of the offense.
But that contemplated, I would assume, that there was some finding prior to the hearing on expungement that a firearm was used in the commission of the crime. Here there is no finding of fact by the court before the expungement hearing that there's a firearm anywhere involved in this. Is that true?
That's true, Your Honor. That's absolutely correct.
So then the expungement judge can go into any report or any hearsay statement or anything that he finds anywhere and says, someone said that they thought he had a gun involved in this case. We cannot expunge this record. That's ridiculous.
Well, Your Honor, let me, having dealt with a number of expungements over the years, I had occasion where we had nothing more than the indictment that suggested a firearm was involved in the commission of the offense. And the 8th District affirmed the granting of the expungement in that case because we did not offer evidence. And I was counsel for the state on that. We had not offered evidence that a firearm was involved in that offense. Here we were precluded from making that finding by the actions of the trial judge. The Court of Appeals properly reversed on that basis and said that certainly the trial judge can and should have considered, even though those reports were not necessarily subject to cross-examination. The defendant had the opportunity, as did the state, to prove or disprove that a firearm was involved at the expungement hearing.
If you take a plea to a 12-count indictment, you take a plea to a first count, nulli counts 2 through 11.
Sure.
Can you at some time later on come back and try that defendant on the cases that were nullied?
I would think the practical answer to that is not because a condition of the plea involved the dismissal, presumably with prejudice, of those other 11 counts.
Is that what happened in this case?
There was a dismissal of the kidnapping count and a reduction of the felonious assault count, certainly.
And a dismissal of the firearm
specification. I'm not suggesting we have any ability to try Mr. Simon on those charges at some later date.
So you're saying even though all those things were dismissed and thrown out, and you cannot then go back and try him again on that, you're telling me that at a hearing for expungement, the judge who is hearing that case can go into all those facts that were dismissed or thrown out at the time of the plea?
I think the answer is absolutely yes, Your Honor.
Isn't the reason for that is because the focus of the expungement hearing is certainly different than
absolutely. It's not the criminal proceeding. The court is required to get a report from the probation department. Part of that report is the facts and circumstances of the case. In 1986, the 8th District, in a published opinion, said even if the defendant were to get probation, the fact that it was a non-probationable offense does not allow him then to get the extraordinary grant of an expungement. Defendant...
The word there is offense.
Yes.
So what should we look to for determining what was the offense?
The offense here was an assault, and under 2951.02, the defendant was armed during the commission of that offense. Just like in Fisher, where the defendant pled guilty to a robbery, it wasn't in the indictment or the information in that case that there is a firearm. The prohibition against probation was not included in that indictment. It was learned later in the probation report. We have exactly that same situation here. What Moore has said in the 8th District is, you know at the time of the plea that a firearm is used, the fact that you have been given probation does not entitle you later then to come back and seal that record.
Does the hearing judge on the motion for expungement, can he
Mr. Fry,
yes.
Let's accept, at least for purposes of argument, that you're correct in your legal position, and I might tell you and tell them, I find that to be pretty persuasive. It's, but I don't like it. Is this kind of the thing that we used to call when we were growing up, dirty pool? Why do you come back after the fact? Are you trying to establish some principle that we should know about so that for other cases? Because if that's the case, it may be important. Here it just seems like you enter into the plea agreement, everything is settled, the man goes about his business and keeps straight with the law, then moves for expungement, and you come back and say, oh, wait, all those years ago, you did something that didn't entitle you to probation, even though we put you on probation.
Now, I would like to, and I don't mean to be flip in my response here, and I would like to think that we think of the consequences of our actions, the time we commit them for all of our acts. At least since 1986, at least in the 8th District, that law has been very clear. It's binding precedent, as this court is well aware in the 8th District, as far as that published opinion that said, even if you get probation, you can't get an expungement. Counsel is counsel for the defendant at the time of the plea. There is not one word in that plea agreement that fiction that was created between the state and the defendant for purposes of plea and sentencing carried over for any collateral use down the road. Well, yet counsel wanted to make that an expungible offense, it seems to me, they would have asked for a finding or maybe a stipulation that a firearm was not, that the defendant was not armed at the time of commission of this offense.
What if you agreed that not only can he get probation, but he can get the record expunged? Would the 8th District Court of Appeals go along with your agreement, or would they then say that the fact that a gun was used cannot be have a record expunged?
Your Honor, I think that we would have a wholly different issue of a contract between the state and the defendant for the resolution of those charges.
So it's a matter of a contract, and not a fact. The fact that he didn't plead to a firearm specification, but you entered into a contract. We look at it differently.
I think the contract that we're looking into is to the limits, the outer limits of the contract itself, and that is solely for the purposes of punishment.
Well, then you can adjust the expungement statute, but no one else can.
I suspect that's probably true. I mean, I think we have that discretion in almost any case that we can accept a plea to a charge that the defendant was not originally indicted to as part of the plea bargaining process. We did not do that in this case. We never extended the terms of that contract between the state and the defendant to include later expungement of his conviction.
So you agreed to probation in this case?
We did, Your Honor. There's no dispute. The record is clear. We agreed to probation in this case.
Did the trial judge...
Yes, they are, Your Honor. Those prohibitions don't exist any longer in the post-Senate Bill 2. You have to have the specification to make a prison term mandatory in those cases. But in the pre-Senate Bill 2 case law, if the defendant was armed, with the exception of carrying a concealed weapon, the answer would be yes.
So even though the crime was not taken, even though the crime did nothing to do with the weapon, the whole strong never thought about it as a crime. He could come back and come up with it, but he
won't
carry a gun.
I think that's correct, Your Honor. And the whole reason for that, it seems to me, is the legislature said we want to deal with criminal activity where a defendant is armed differently from what we deal with in other criminal acts. If the stakes are higher because of the proximity to the weapon. Justice Moyer.
Well, I may have missed this, but there was a probation report here, is that correct?
For the expungement, yes.
Yeah, and did that indicate that there was a weapon when the crime was committed?
I don't know if that report did, Your Honor. I apologize.
Is that in our record? I assume that's in our... Is that in our record?
It should be in your record because we typically file that as part of our appeal to the Court of Appeals. What is in the record are those professional conduct interviews that the Court of Appeals said should probably have been admitted in the trial court hearing.
Well, I take it, though, that your argument is that if we would find in the probation report the fact that the defendant had a weapon on him when he committed the crime, that's it. I mean, that's...
For purposes of expungement, yes. I think that's it.
If there's no reference in the probation report, then we have to rely on the statement about the officer always carries a gun because he's a police officer.
Perhaps. I mean, there is an admission on the record that the defendant wasn't...
Doesn't say that he had it this time. It's an abstract statement, isn't it?
Well, from which we can apply. He has his service weapon, I think, yes.
But you follow him in this scenario. You could, as a prosecutor, create the fiction that he was not armed at the time that could have been part of the plea bargain. Let's say a police officer committed a head infection in the store,
if there was a stipulation or some type of fact finding that you were found, we don't have that in this case. Thank you. I know my time's long. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ricardo, you've saved 5 minutes of your time.
Is saying that the offense is probationable the very same subject as whether or not the conviction can be sealed? I mean, the argument is one goes to sentencing eligibility, which is distinct from the eligibility for sealing.
I believe the case law that we have is presented on the issue. All addresses probation at the time of sentencing. Looks then to expungement, particularly shock probation and break your basic probation right out of sentence. I don't think there's differentiating. Probation is defined.
But you're familiar, aren't you, with the case that your opponent's citing from the 8th District, the reported case, where that belies your view?
Where it's even though we received probation, it's not, well, I mean, I don't think the state of Ohio can go back on what they agreed. I don't think there's a finding of fact. This was probation.
Well, okay, so you want to go back to the agreement, and I'm suggesting that there could be quite a difference between the agreement on what sentence a person is eligible for versus ceiling.
I think bifurcating that is starting to really distort things at that point, and it should be made clear to also to the individual defendant that it should be not probation, in all fairness to him, saying, you know, we'll give you probation, but you're not eligible.
Well, it's certainly, I mean, it's important that that subject of sealing apparently wasn't discussed by anybody. Everybody was focused on sentence.
I'm sure it was completely contemplated by all parties. There's no question.
Nobody said word one about it, though.
It was now on the record.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, they still agreed to the probation status.
Yeah.
They never appealed that. That was even instructed as part of the court's discussion.
Yep.
And it doesn't take far a stretch to believe that it's probationable, that it becomes expungible.
Mm-hmm.
How is it probationable under the, I guess I'm curious, maybe I'm missing something here. F, 02F says an offender shall not be placed on probation, shall not otherwise have the offender's sentence of imprisonment suspended, yet the offense involved was committed while the offender was armed with a firearm.
Well, at this point, there's no conviction that he actually used a firearm. And I would like to address the statute, the 29-5102F3. I think this court should at least clarify during the commission of offense exactly what that means. I think that's not going to an allegation that what's going to occur because we're penalizing an individual for that conduct, which is criminal punishment.
Well, you didn't, I guess you didn't argue, at least I didn't take it that way in the brief, that this has sort of been waived by the state. Since here, obviously, somebody decided that there was no firearm.
So they could
have yet to conclude to get under that, to get around that section. But you didn't argue that. You didn't argue that in your brief. So I guess it's because there was a firearm used. So that's something you should mention.
Well, there was no mention of firearm being used during the sentencing.
But it doesn't say used. It says was armed. It just has to have the weapon on the person. It doesn't have to use it.
And that's merely an accusation. I don't think you can say it was just on that accusation. You have to go on conviction. What exactly was he convicted of, and what exactly was the circumstances surrounding that conviction? And when reviewing for an expungement, I think we should be reviewing the record and not making a new record of 6 years after this matter of was sentenced by the trial. Creating a new record 6 years later is fundamentally basically unfair.
Do you know what is in the probation report at the expungement hearing? Is there a reference to the being armed with a gun?
Your Honor, generally they aren't available.
Okay, so you don't have access.
No, Your Honor.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion. Take a brief recess.
All rise.